They are still counting votes in Arizona and Nevada, where tight Senate races remain up in the air. So no news yet on who controls the U.S. House and Senate come January.
Tuesday's results disappointed Republicans who were hoping for a blowout. So there are a lot of questions today about who the party leaders will be. Let's convene our Friday Politics Roundtable and talk about it. Kay Henderson is news director at Radio Iowa in Des Moines, and Scott Wong is senior congressional reporter for NBC News. Hello to both of you.
Hello.
Good to be with you.
Okay, so former President Donald Trump is under fire, mostly from his own party, because he pushed midterm candidates who lost. He supported them, it looks like, because they embraced his lies about winning the 2020 election. Now, former presidential rival Chris Christie called him the biggest loser of the election. And on Fox News, the Republican lieutenant governor of Virginia, Winsome Sears, said voters have spoken.
A true leader understands when they have become a liability. A true leader understands that it's time to step off the stage.
So we've asked many times in the past, Scott, if Trump is losing his grip over the GOP. There was the impeachment, then impeachment again. There was January 6th. Is it finally happening?
I think it's too early to say at the moment. Yes, you pointed out that Trump endorsed a number of election deniers who lost in places like Pennsylvania with Doug Mastriano and Dr. Oz. Blake Masters appears to be losing in Arizona, Tudor Dixon in the Michigan governor's race. One bright spot for President Trump was J.D. Vance, who won the Ohio Senate seat. To your question about whether he's losing his grip on the party, it's too soon to tell. Right now, it appears that the conservative base is still with the president. The rank-and-file members of the House and the Senate still are sticking with President Trump. But we don't know. The dust hasn't settled yet from these House and Senate elections. We don't know who controls the balance of power in Washington. When we do find out, there will be a lot more introspection into who was to blame for a pretty disastrous night for Republicans.
And yet prominent Republicans have roundly criticized candidates that Donald Trump supported on Tuesday. The Detroit Free Press reports that leaders of the Michigan GOP have sent out a memo, and it says Trump turned off major donors by pushing inexperienced candidates, and that there were too many attack ads and culture war issues like transgender sports, and not enough focus on the economy and inflation. Kay, you're in Iowa. Are there similar worries, rumblings in Iowa, which, of course, helped to make Donald Trump a viable contender in 2016?
Not at this point. There has been silence from Iowa GOP chairman and the top elected officials here. I would note that Trump was in Iowa on Thursday of last week and told a rally crowd there to get ready, making it clear that he plans to run again. There was polling in October from the Des Moines Register. Its Iowa poll showed 83% of Republicans in the state had a favorable view of Donald Trump. A poll in July by the same newspaper found that 57% of Republicans wanted him to run again. Mm. So even if that margin was cut in half, and as we expect, there's a full field of Republicans who may choose to run against Donald Trump, he would still be able to clear the bar in the Iowa caucuses, perhaps.
There is, of course, always a question about when Donald Trump will announce. I think most people assume he's running in 2024. He has announced that he'll make a special announcement for Mar-a-Lago Tuesday night, which is a very Trump thing to do. Scott, any insights on what's going on here behind the scenes, especially as there appears to be a bit of a tug of war?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of drama playing out in the state of Florida where President Trump now resides, and between the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who had a great night on Tuesday, you know, beating the Democrat Charlie Crist by nearly 20 points. A lot of Republicans are pointing to DeSantis as the future of the Republican Party, somebody who's young, has a young family, is extremely popular. It has a lot of the Trump you know, attributes without maybe some of his, you know, overly fiery rhetoric. But President Trump has teased this announcement, big announcement at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday night, November 15th. He's been inviting media. He's been inviting allies to come join him. We think that he will be announcing for president, but as we know with past experiences, President Trump can change his mind at any moment, and so we cannot say for sure whether this is going to be the big announcement, but certainly a lot of eyes will be on Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday.
Eyes also on Georgia, of course, where there will be a Senate runoff next month between Raphael Warnock and challenger Herschel Walker. Here's Walker yesterday.
They said we're in overtime. We're in overtime. That means we got a runoff. Hey, I was built for this.
And here is a little sound from Warnock also yesterday.
Are you ready to do this one more time? Let's get it done.
So, Kay, how is this race looking from Iowa as far as how important it is, what it will come down to?
Well, obviously, it will play a role in determining whether Democrats have majority control in the Senate or Republicans are able to sort of eke out something there. And it's sort of a reprise of how both parties found themselves in after Donald Trump lost the election in 2020. And you had two races down in Georgia. And Trump's role in both of those outcomes was roundly criticized by some people within his own party. So if Trump does, as perhaps indicated, announce that he's running next week, that's going to play a huge role in what happens in Georgia. And, you know, one would expect that he would go down and have a rally or two with Herschel Walker.
And then, Scott, we have to talk about what's going on in the House. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy may end up leading the House with a very narrow Republican majority. He was on Fox News last night.
Look, I'm not concerned. Think about this. Since I've been leader for the last 4 years, we've only gained seats. It's the goal of winning the majority. We won the majority. We're going to have a smaller majority. So we're going to find that we work together.
So is there going to be an election for the speakership on Tuesday, as was planned? And what might Kevin McCarthy face if he takes over?
Well, sir, first of all, Kevin McCarthy said that they have won the majority. According to NBC and our number crunchers, the control of the House has not been called yet. It is too close to call. There are still 30 seats that have not been called. And if Democrats run the table on those seats, there's a possibility that they could hold on to the majority, although that chance is very slim. Now, if Republicans do win the majority, it will be a very, very slim margin. And that is going to create all sorts of headaches for Kevin McCarthy. First off, in terms of being able to cobble together 218 votes that he needs to be elected Speaker of the House on the floor, he's currently negotiating with members of the very conservative Freedom Caucus in terms of trying to address some of their demands. They want to water down some of the power that the Speaker has. And then if he can get to 218 on the floor, he's going to have a whole host of problems being able to hold that very fragile majority together on major issues, from government spending, keeping the government open, from the debt ceiling, preventing a default of the national debt, to impeachment of a number of Biden officials that many on the right are calling for. And so he's going to have a number of headaches going forward if he can even get to become Speaker of the House.
Yeah. And let's just talk a little about this far-right Freedom Caucus and its power. On the Absolute Truth podcast, Arizona conservative Congressman Andy Biggs said to Kevin McCarthy, not so fast, he may not have the votes to be Speaker.
I think we need to have a serious discussion. He's backpedaled on things like impeachment, and in some ways that indicates a willingness to be weakening the oversight authority that we need to have.
So finally, Kay, you know, in Iowa looking forward, how much power does this Freedom Caucus have as far as key candidates in Congress and for the president looking at 2024?
Well, interestingly enough, Marjorie Taylor Greene was in Iowa with President Trump last week. And one of the key decisions they'll have to make is, you know, will they win concessions? And if so, what sort of agenda they will, pursue in the coming months. One of the most interesting decisions that Kevin McCarthy sort of telegraphed when he was here in Iowa in October is that spending for Ukraine will be, questionable. They'll require a plan ending U.S. involvement there.
Kay Henderson of Radio Iowa and Scott Wong of NBC News, thanks to you both.